Breakfast with Refilwe Mlotlo
on Cape Talk.
The World Review is brought to you by 91. Isn't it time to change how you see investing? Visit 91.com for more. Adam, good morning and happy National Women's Day, but I'm imparting it upon you anyway. How are you today?
Morning. Happy National Women's Day. International Women's Day is not today, though, is it?
No, I think it's in March.
Early in the year. Yeah. March, right. Yeah. Okay. Oh, well, then definitely South African Women's Day. Absolutely.
Exactly.
Round of applause.
Thanks a lot. Okay, let's talk a little bit about a nuclear threat in Ukraine after missile attacks on a power plant.
Now, hopefully it's died down a little bit overnight, but yeah, it's a bit scary to think that there were missile attacks on or very close to the nuclear power plant at Zaporizhia. This is the plant still operated by Ukrainian experts, but it has been taken over by Russian troops since February. So there are about 500 Russian soldiers who are stationed there. The boss of the United Nations called for calm. The UN Secretary General, Antonio Guterres, says attacking a nuclear site amounts to, quote, a suicide thing. He has a point. So far, by the way, both sides are blaming each other. The Russians are suggesting Ukraine has bombed or shelled its own plant, and Ukraine is obviously pointing the finger at Russia. Three radiation sensors have been hit. That's okay. That, you know, it's not the end of the world, that one. But the worst-case scenario is that something like the cooling system is hit, or
right,
the generator that powers the cooling system, and then we've got meltdown, potentially. But here's another worst-case scenario, just while we're on Ukraine and nuclear stuff. A retired British general, Richard Barron, says if the Ukrainians' counterattack around Kherson is successful, and of course a lot of the world would quite like Ukraine to be successful, he says that could push Ukrainian forces into territory that Russia considers its own, and they could then use tactical battlefield nuclear weapons. The nuclear options are coming round just a little bit too much here, aren't they?
I was about to say, it seems as though we're being pushed into that nuclear space, even if that wasn't necessarily what the aggressor wanted.
Yeah, and it may be the case. I mean, I suppose a tactical battlefield nuclear weapon is rather different to thermonuclear war, but still.
Indeed. And then we were speaking about this earlier this morning, sad passing of Olivia Newton-John, cultural icon who passed away at 73 yesterday.
Yes, a national sweetheart, Australia called her, but she's kind of like yours, she's ours, she's theirs, she's everyone's,
That's
isn't she?
Right. she's British.
Has anyone on the planet not seen Greece and fallen in love with Sandy? I mean, just, what was she then, 27, 28 when she made the film?
Yeah.
They were all a bit older than their parts, so it doesn't matter. She was already a star by then. I mean, I seem to remember By the Bayou, I remember country songs, Take Me Home, Country Roads. She'd done a lot of stuff like that before Greece. And then for gentlemen of a certain age, we'll never forget Let's Get Physical from Olivia Newton, or Olivia Neutron Bomb was one of her nicknames, as I recall. And the tributes have been lovely. Actress Stockard Channing, who was Rizzo in Greece, said she didn't know a lovelier human being. And you do get that sense of her, don't you?
Mm.
Fighting breast cancer for 30 years, but oh boy, did she do it with a smile on her face. Rod Stewart called her the perfect lady and gorgeous. Oprah Winfrey called her positivity infectious, and I suppose ultimately it has to fall to John Travolta, co-star in Grease, to talk about her as her impact was incredible. As he put it, we will see you down the road, we'll all be together again. I guess together again like Rama Lama 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 Dinga Da Dinga Dong. You remember that Grease?
Of course
lyric.
I remember that one. We go together like, yes, I remember it.
Yeah. Remember forever, a shoo-ba-doo, shoo-ba-doo-wap-ba-doo-wap, that one.
That's the one. Oh, shame. Yeah, I mean, you were mentioning people like John Travolta, like Stockard Channing. I worried a bit. Stockard Channing's one of my ultimate favorite actresses and always
felt isn't she great?
Because of her character, Rizzo, sometimes didn't get the world's sweetheart title the same way that Olivia Newton-John did. Not that I want to take anything away from Olivia Newton-John, but yeah, just as iconic for her.
Absolutely, yeah. And my wife always said, my wife used to do a little bit of musical theatre in her youth, and she always said the character she most wanted to be was Rizzo, the sass, you know.
She's so cool.
She had the eyes, she had a bit of everything, didn't she?
That's right. You look like an Easter egg. Anyways, okay, so an unsporting climate at the Commonwealth Games. What's on the go there?
Right. Well, we have Commonwealth Games finally finished last night. It did feel like they went on a bit, but, I mean, who ends on a Monday, for goodness sake? But anyway, they did. And it's the impact of climate change on the Commonwealth Games, and I guess beyond as well on sport. So first up, the stadium in Birmingham began on sort of transforming it in February 2020, the wettest February on record in Britain. Work on it finished in July 2022, the hottest July on record. So you put those two things together, go, oh, okay, something's going on. Now, I just read this online, three competitors at the Commonwealth Games talking about what climate change is doing to their training and their competing. Eliud Kipchoge, a Kenyan distance runner, has talked about how a hotter environment in Kenya means it's impossible to run for 2 or 3 hours in training or competing at home, how he put it. And for a distance runner, that's a problem. The Fijian rugby player, Aroni Sau, says the encroachment of the sea is that there's very little beach left in his hometown, and the beach is exactly where children in Fiji learn to play rugby. And a swimmer from the Maldives, Mubal Azam, now you might think there's too much water. He says the trouble is there's flooding, there's erosion, and there's pollution. The water in the Maldives is therefore sloshing around into the sewage systems, and training has again become very difficult to do. All of those impacts of climate change on athletes that, I mean, you don't always instantly think of, but it must absolutely compound the problems.
Massively so, sure. Very concerning. But at the end of the day, a really special closing ceremony with the Commonwealth Games themselves in Birmingham. I don't know if you caught that that Black Sabbath performance.
I do like a tiny bit of Black Sabbath, but I can't go too far with it. I wonder as well if that might be the last Commonwealth Games with the Queen passing an eye over. I mean, she should have been there, but obviously couldn't attend. And you wonder what kind of Commonwealth we will have. I mean, some would say it's not as meaningful as it could have been once, but it still exists. I wonder, will it still exist in another 2 or 3 versions?
Sure. Well, in the meantime, we do hope that the climate change doesn't stop those wonderfully talented Fijians and others from being able to participate. Adam Gilchrist, always a pleasure. Thanks so much for that worldview. We'll catch up with you tomorrow.